I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
For a century and a half, Montana's Pioneer Mountains have echoed with the young voices from the Divide one-room school.
And justice for all.
Yes, there are still one-room public schools in America.
Let's talk about the earth. How does the earth naturally filter water?
Today, about 200 one-room schools carry on a tradition that's older than America itself. And while the frontier where they first appeared may be gone, the spirit that they helped create is alive and well in towns across rural America.
This isn't just a school down a street.
Right. No, this is the heart of the community.
At Divide School, Judy Boyle loves what she does.
I have teacher meetings once a week. It's with me, myself, and I. We get along really well.
Good.
Divide School teaches grades K through 8. At times, it's had as many as 30 students.
My name's David Hayden.
David, how are you?
Hello, my name is Lily Kessler.
Hi, Lily.
Yes.
Okay.
Savannah Rose.
This year, with only 3 students, Boyle can give such individual attention, she makes lesson plans for each student.
I mean, you're really designing something custom-made
right.
for these 3 kids.
Yeah.
That's, I would think, a great thing to be able to do as a teacher.
It is. It really is. Because you can respect their differences and what makes them tick. First word, Lily, brick. Savannah, vacation.
But there are some key similarities between a one-room schoolhouse and your neighborhood school. Take the cost. It's roughly the same per student, and all the schools have to meet the same state and national standards. And sometimes, like at Divide, there are additional expectations at a school that has been operating since the 1870s.
And these small communities, their schools are really important to them.
Why?
Because the school is what generates the reputation of that town.
There was a time when almost every American child learned in a one-room school. In the 1700s, John Adams taught in a one-room school near Boston. Abe Lincoln was educated in a one-room school, and Henry Ford loved his so much, he had it moved to a museum in Michigan. As late as 1913, half of America's school children were enrolled in the country's 200,000 one-room schools. But after the First World War, one-room schools started to close as people moved into cities and small schools started to consolidate. So for most of us, the one-room school is now just folklore, the kind that Laura Ingalls Wilder brought to life in Little House on the Prairie.
Did you bring a slate?
No, ma'am.
Well, you can't learn to write properly without a slate.
It's been a long time since the farmlands near Lansing, Michigan, were prairie.
All right, let's see what you know. Come on.
Brenda Hayden teaches a class of 18, ages 5 to 12, at the strange one-room school founded in 1879.
And let's start off with Tyler, Joey, Corwin, Josh. You first, you four first.
The kids still sit in the exact same classroom, except now they learn on iPads. But one teacher job requirement hasn't changed across all those years, being self-sufficient.
So in a big school, the teacher would call in the guidance counselor, that would be you, or complain to the principal, that would be you.
Yes. At first it was overwhelming, but now it's part of the job. And you just have the instinct to know what to do and what to say.
And here, the lessons are not just about math or science, but about older children helping the younger ones with things like learning how to read. And there's an unusual teaching tool that may only work in a one-room school, eavesdropping. It sure helps first grader Thomas Triger.
Because when I was in kindergarten, I was, like, listening to all the third grade stuff. So I learned a lot in kindergarten.
I remember last year he came home from kindergarten. Mom, what is the Civil War? He thought he didn't know it was Civil War, but he hears the older kids talking.
Which is why Cynthia Triger, herself a teacher at a Christian high school, wanted 7-year-old Thomas in a one-room school. even though there were bigger schools closer to their home.
Kindergarten, he was already moved up into first grade, reading and math, and it was a smooth transition. I don't want him to grow up too fast. I want him to enjoy his childhood. I want him to be a child. And in this school, he is still a first grader, but he's doing second and third grade work in reading and math.
And at Strange, there are other lessons of life. Students must clean the school every day.
What are you trying to teach there?
Responsibility. I think responsibility goes with every aspect of life that we do. I mean, it carries over to a work ethic that everyone should have instilled in them.
You might think kids would miss things like team sports,
nice.
But they don't.
8 feet, 1 inch.
At Divide, the local one-room schools get together to make up a track or basketball team. But for some, it's hard when the day comes to go to the big city high school. It can be, in a word,
terrifying. I mean, you're going from, you know, 7-8 kids to thousands.
How did you handle it?
Pretty poorly at first, but I guess freshman year moved on. I came out and was able to, you know, make friends, talk to people, get on with my life.
John Dupuy, who graduated from Divide, is now a senior who's going to college next year for a degree in computer science. He says in balance, the one-room school was the unique basis for a life of learning.
How do you think you did academically against the kids who had gone through a normal school system?
In the top ranks.
You were?
Yes.
Why?
I think it was the push of education here. There was no discouragement. It was always, what can you learn? What can you do? You can do this. You will learn this.
I love this one. I'm with these students 180 days a year for 9 years of their life. You can't help but love them. You know, they're a part of you. And I'm a part of them.
No wonder that when it comes to education, the teachers and students in one-room schools so often consider themselves the lucky ones.